We'll continue with, finish up the series on vision today. And I want to start with a story that I just read that I really liked. It goes this way. It started like so many evenings, mom and dad at home, and Jimmy, little Jimmy, playing after dinner. Mom and dad were absorbed with jobs and did not notice the time. It was a full moon and some of the light seeped through the windows. Then mom glanced at the clock. Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Go up now and I'll come and settle you in later. Unlike usual, Jimmy went straight upstairs to the room. An hour or so later, his mother came up to check if all was well. And to her astonishment, she found her son staring quietly out of his window at the moonlit scenery. What are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm looking at the moon, Mommy.
Well, it's time to go to bed now. And as one reluctant boy settled down, he said, Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on the moon. Isn't that amazing? This little kid says to his mom, I'm going to walk on the moon. And who would have known that this is the guy that would have been in a motorcycle accident that nearly took his life, broke just about every bone in his body, that 32 years after he was sitting in that spot looking at the moon, he'd be one of the 12 people to walk on the moon. Pretty good, huh? James Irwin. And so that's an amazing story of vision. And I believe that was, you know, God-given. I mean, how do you just get that kind of inspiration? But he saw something in his heart, saw something about his life, something in the future, 32 years later. That's vision. And so let's read our favorite scripture on vision again. It's been one of our theme scriptures, Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I guess you could say, where there is vision, the people thrive. The people flourish. The people grow. The people increase. What is vision? Vision is future sight, just like James Irwin. Future sight, saw something in the future that he'd be doing. And this is the definition that I really like. It is a God-given, clear and challenging picture of the future, as we believe it can be, not what is or not what was, but what could be and what must be. That a vision in your life is something that drives you and motivates you and is something that has to happen. Now, let's look at the second most famous verse on vision. You know what it is? Habakkuk chapter 2. I knew you were going to say that. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's in the future. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So I want to give you 5 points about vision. Most of them fit within the scripture here. But the first one is kind of something that I've just learned and over time through practice. So 5 different parts to writing the vision. The first part is, know who you are and what is vital. And if you want a copy of these notes, just text me or email me or ask me about it, and I'll get these notes to you. I believe that this ministry and organizations and families aren't vision-driven, they're values-driven. Values are what at the core of our who we are. It's why we do what we do. And so these are our values over here. These are our 8 values. And when we started to write the vision, we started with who we already were. And out of these values came our vision and our mission. Miraculous power, open arms, generosity, common unity, passion for souls, empowerment, anti-religion, Holy Spirit-led. This is at the core of our Good News of Good News Church. And so when you're going to write your vision, you've got to know who you are. What's most important to you? What are you passionate about? And so that's where vision starts. Then, like it's said in Habakkuk, the guy was on the watchtower. He was a sentry in a fort. And so he's like looking out in the distance. And it's really a symbol of a prayer. It's a symbol of someone looking to God. And so vision starts with prayer. And these are some of the questions. What will the future of my life or this organization look like? So you're looking to God and you're wanting answers. You're asking Him questions. And you're asking Him to show you the future. And He's good at that. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament has prophets. Those are seers. God's all into seeing the future. And so you're wanting God to open your eyes to see things. I love Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, I do want to remind you, I think those last two messages on vision were really more important than this one, because those two messages will get you to the place to write the vision for yourself. So I just want to encourage you, if you weren't here, go back over those two messages. Last week on faithfulness, I'm telling you, that was really strong. God uses faithful people. He's searching for faithful people. But then also John 16:13 talks about us in the future. John 16:13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He's going to show you things about the future. He'll show you things about your life. He'll show you things about your ministry. I remember when I was at Oral Roberts University and, you know, 20 years old, and so much vision came to me while I was at that campus. And He showed me my future. He showed me preaching. He showed me teaching. I saw those things at that age. Now, we didn't start the church until 33. It was like 13 years later, 12 years later. But he was working in my heart already, showing me the future of what I would be doing. All right, point number three then. After you've written down your values and who you are and you've been in prayer, well what's going to happen? God's going to speak. God speaks. That's when you write down what you're seeing and hearing down on paper. Now, when I was at Oral Roberts University, Oral Roberts constantly put the vision of that school before us. Do we have that? I don't know if they had a chance. And this is the vision of Oral Roberts University. And this vision still burns in my heart. That's the power of the vision. While I was there, and still to this day when I go out there or when I see it, it means so much to me. It's in my heart. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of our family. It's a part of this church. And so this is the vision of Oral Roberts University. And Oral got this in prayer. The Lord spoke to him. He wrote this down. This was the vision of the campus. Raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, or my voice is heard small and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. Their work will exceed yours, and in this I am well pleased. And he just saw students going out, you know, he called it every man's world. Some as full-time ministers, some in the business world, some as stay-at-home moms, you know, teachers, all different kinds of professions. And bringing God's healing power to their world. So that shows you the power of writing something down, the power of communicating it. And I'm a product of that vision. My wife and I are. My daughter, Maddie Sue, went there, and my son Harry is there right now. For most people, though, it may not come that quickly like that. For most people, it's going to be a process. You're going to start writing things down. And we had a team of people here that we talked about the vision with. And we wrote some things down and discussed it and fine-tuned it and argued about words and, you know, looked at our values. And so it was a process that took some time to put it together. And it'll take you some time. A good vision is takes some time to put down on paper and to for it to have meaning. And so people around you help make it clear. Help to clarify the vision. And so point four is make it plain. A vision grows and expands. It's something that's fluid. It's not just set in stone, over the whole history. It you could add to it. God shows you more and more. Now, for us, it's not going to change that much, but we may add a little bit to this over time as God shows us more. But a vision is not a vision until it inspires people. And so that's why as you're writing things down on paper, it may mean something to you, but it's not going to be powerful until it inspires other people to action. That's what a good vision does. It inspires people to run. I like this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. You remember Nehemiah was going to build the wall in Jerusalem that had been torn down. Nehemiah 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem. He's giving the vision. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. Now look at this part. And so they said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work. A vision motivates. A vision inspires. A vision causes others to follow. That's what a good vision does. Now, after you've got your vision written, I'll tell you, I'm available to help you. If you want to meet with me and talk about vision for your ministry or business, I'm willing to meet with you about that. And I love this area, and I'm willing to do that. If you have something written out and you want someone to give you some feedback, I'll speak the truth in love to you. But the last part of vision is what you do after you write it, is wait for it. And this is where it's going to take faith and patience. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith. You know what faith is? Believing the word, believing what God said, speaking it out your mouth, acting upon it, acting as if it's so. That's faith and patience. You know what patience is? You're going to love this. Patience is cheerful endurance. You're going to need a lot of cheerful endurance when you have a vision. Because there's going to be some days where it looks like you're going backwards. Because there's a devil in this world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There's going to be some days you're going to be discouraged. A lot of days. That's why you need a church family. That's why you need crazy faith friends around you. Because, and thank God, Susie and I, as talking about our marriage, we never wanted to quit on the same day. And you said that for the church too. So we haven't. Not yet anyway. You need people around you that are for you, faith people. Don't become sluggish, but imitate those in faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Remember Abraham? You know, God showed him the stars and said, that's what your descendants will be like. Remember the sand on the seashore, the stars in the heaven. And here at this point, he's got no heir. Now, in the Old Testament, God did a lot of things in people's lives externally. Let them, you know, Moses, the burning bush, and, you know, pillar of fire, and, you know, the different things, and led them through external measures. But in the New Testament, we're led by the inward witness. And so that vision, God doesn't show us necessarily, you know, natural things. He shows us things on the inside. Surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently, everybody say patiently. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a patient person. Why are you laughing about that? Because you have cheerful endurance. And so after he had patiently endured, you got to wait for it, he obtained the promise. So those are some pointers. There's more to the vision process, writing the vision process, but I just want to give you some of the basics, some of the things I've learned over the years. And now I want to close the service today and talk about the vision of Good News Church. And I think it's fitting that we do that on Membership Sunday and when we have Sprunch. I mean, that's a good day to talk about vision. But you've heard me quote, you quoted the vision of the church. Now let me give you our key vision verse. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I mean, there's a whole lot of verses we like here. I mean, I could give you Mark 16. I could give you different verses for Great Commission, other things from Paul's writings about who we are in Christ. I mean, there's a whole lot of verses I love that are the foundation for Good News Church and for this vision here and for these values. Acts 10:38, Acts 1:8. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. But I don't think anything quite puts it all together like 2 Corinthians 5. And when I read these verses, I think of Good News Church, and the people of Good News Church, and I think about our vision. So this is a key vision verse for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ... Do I have anybody in Christ here today? You're born again. You've been placed in Christ. You're in Him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Talk about new creation realities. When we become a new creation, our spirit's been changed on the inside. We've been born again, changed by Him, given eternal life. Given this abundant life. It's another one of our favorites, John 10:10. Old things have passed away. You're not who you used to be. All things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Are you glad you're reconciled today? Are you glad you're redeemed today? Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you're going to heaven? Are you glad you got a covenant with God? You got a benefit plan, an awesome benefit plan in this life and the next. We've been reconciled. The blood of Jesus reconciled, made things right with us and God. reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry. Given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm just having to speak to your neighbor because they need to be talked to today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that? I've got a ministry. You're always wanting a ministry. You've got a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. It has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now he's fixing to tell you more about who you are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. My mom would shoot me if I said the word fixing. Don't tell her. Don't tell her I said that. She's a writer. Picky about words, and she wouldn't like that. That's okay. I'm saying it. She's not here. Oh. Stop the live streaming. Hey, Mom. I'm just having some fun here. Love you. Talk to you on Mother's Day. Big bouquet of flowers. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that you're an ambassador? You know that you're Christ's representative? When an ambassador is in another nation, they represent that country. They have all the authority and power to represent the country they're an ambassador for. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. See, Jesus is not here in the flesh. God is not here in the flesh, but He speaks through His body. We are His hands, His feet, His mouthpiece. If God wants something done in the earth, He does it through His people. He just doesn't do things. He can't. He's not authorized to. So He works through His body. God, we're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made us who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus took our sin on His body, took His sickness on His body, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We've been made righteous. We have a right standing with God. We are His sons and daughters. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We have an inheritance. All these amazing things as believers. Doesn't mean life is perfect. It says in John, it says, in this world you have tribulation as long as there's a devil around who's doing his best to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the midst of that, we've been made overcomers. And even if you get beat and you die, you go to heaven. God wins there too. And if it wasn't for our race, wouldn't you want to be in heaven? If it wasn't for the vision or what He's called us to do. But we've been made righteous. The right standing that Jesus has with God, we've been given. And that means we could go boldly to the throne. And it's not about feelings, because some days you don't feel righteous. Well, we'll just go a little further. Some days you don't feel righteous, and you don't act righteous, and you don't speak righteous. But that doesn't mean you're not. You need to know who you are. Start living like that, because that's the real you. That's who you are. Now, let me discuss then the vision. I just wrote down some things about who this church is. I just want to share them from my heart here. And I'm just going to go through these. And you just listen. And I want you to get a picture of this vision of what we're talking about, this congregation, and about Good News Church, and what we mean when we say these things. We see a community of believers strongly connected. Now, I tell you, that strongly connected is one of the most challenging parts of the vision. Not only connected to God, but connected to each other. Because the devil fights relationships. The devil fights fellowship. I mean, look at marriages. How hard it is for two people to come together and have a happy, healthy, wonderful marriage. It's not easy. Right, Susie? So that's two people. And now we're going to want to get hundreds of people together and do something for God. You're crazy. That's impossible. And without a vision and without God's help, I mean, it is impossible. I've never been a part of a church split. We've never had any. We've had people leave and people have been offended, but we've never had a church split. But I couldn't imagine. Who's been through a church split before? Raise your hand. Wow. Boy, that's tough. That's really, I mean, how do you, which side? Who wins there? But you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to divide us. Because, you know, he knows that people come together, what we can do together. And so it's hard. We, community, common unity of believers strongly connected to God and each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers, reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. All righty. I see a congregation of believers, and if you're not, you will be. I see a congregation of believers filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but know how to yield to Him. Hear His voice, yield to Him, His gifts, His power. I see a congregation of hearers and doers of God's Word. People who love to read, study, and confess the Scriptures. We are a Word and Spirit church. We need both to be a strong church for God. We're a congregation led by leaders who are real, who think big, who love people, and love to serve. That's the kind of leadership that I see here. We're obviously not perfect, made a lot of mistakes. But that's what we're endeavoring to be. I see a congregation growing in their relationship with God that know Him. Like we know each other. Like I know Susie. I know God. Growing in their relationship with God, who know Him and trust Him and who are growing up spiritually. I don't want you to be stagnant. I don't want you going backwards. I want you growing in the things of God. I don't care what age you are, how long you've been walking with God. There's no limits in the growth. Now, it does get more challenging as you get older. It's easy to get comfortable, and that's our job, is to keep on, you know, stirring you up. And you know, but I can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. But I want you to continually to be growing up spiritually. I see a congregation who takes the Great Commission personal and who own it. And I think that's a huge body, a huge problem that we have, especially in the North American church, is they don't think the Great Commission is for the believer. It's just for the missionary. It's just for the fivefold ministry. We don't believe that here. We believe that everybody, the Great Commission is for everybody. And we take it personal and we own it and we do our part to train and make disciples. That's what I love about that Essential 8 study, and I believe other studies are going to be coming from that, is that we're empowering people with the Word. We're training people. Not just me or Susie or Nate. I mean, a bunch of us inside the church and outside the church, making disciples, helping people grow in the Word. You need to have people in your life that you can fellowship with and talk about the Word with. That's how you grow. I see a congregation who knows who they are in Christ, who know their God-given rights, privileges, and authority, who live by faith, who trust God, a congregation that walks in love. You've heard me say that, you know, many, many times, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep on saying it. It is challenging. But I pray and I speak that when people come in together at anything the Good News Church is doing, that they are met by the love of God through the people of Good News Church. That there'd be open arms. That you'd feel welcome. Even if you don't stay. You come for a service or come for a Christmas event or children's sing or something like that. That you would, and not something fake or made up or some kind of a program, that you would experience God's love in a tangible way through sincere, real people who care about you. People who care about other members of the body, who know the names of the other members. I won't say anything else about that. Who pray for each other. Who know how to pray for the laborers. One of the most important prayers you can pray. It's a life giver's prayer. Who serve each other. Our ministry outside the church is the ministry of reconciliation. And it is inside the church building. But one of the ministries here is the ministry of helps. And that's where we get to serve each other. That's where we learn to serve people. Who cheerfully, it's like Nick and Amy were saying today, cheerfully and generously give of their resources, their finances. I see a congregation of people that are friends with a cause, like Philippians says, deep-spirited friends who walk in the believer's ministry, who are ambassadors for Christ and ministers of reconciliation. We just go ahead and let me dream, okay? I know I'm crazy. But I'm dreaming. Body of people. And see, yeah, and I want it for an individual and I want it for a family, and that's good. But to have a body of these kind of people. We've got a lot, but we need more. Ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation, who know the gospel and how to share it with others. Who know how to get someone filled with the Holy Spirit. A congregation that knows how to pray and bring the power of God on the scene. Who aren't afraid to lay hands on the sick. I see a congregation of people who are Jesus in their world. That's just a little bit. There's more. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the vision of Good News Church. This is what we're trying to produce here. These are the kind of disciples we're trying to make. It's a challenge because people aren't used to this in church. They're used to just coming to church and being served and nothing asked of them. We're not that church. We're asking a lot. We're asking a whole lot. But that's what the Lord has directed us and has spoken to us about. And so, you know, I'm trying to be more skillful and gentle and loving about the vision and not condemn you like you've got to be this. But this explains a lot about who we are here, why we do things the way we do them. Again, not perfect. We're growing in this. But these words mean something to us. And so you have the values, which is our core of who we are and why we do what we do. The vision is future sight, looking into the future. And someday, it shall come to pass. And we're going to wait for it. And we're believing for it. And we're expecting it. But what we're doing every day is our mission. That's what we do every day to accomplish that vision, is we are empowering people to give life. We are on a daily basis raising up life givers. You are a life giver. You're a believer. Now, in order to give life, you have to have life. So we're going to give you some substance. But it's not just about us. It's about others. So freely you have received, freely you give. Do I have some people that will dream with me? Do I have some people that will believe with me? Do I have some people that will add some faith to our faith? Do I have some people that are going to run with this? And we can't do it, but He can do it. If He's giving it to us, He'll provide. He'll help us. But I want you to know we're going somewhere, and we're going somewhere together. And there's going to be some frustrating days. There's going to be probably be some attacks of the enemy. There's going to be some things, probably the enemy trying to stir things up and bring division. I mean, he's sneaky, all kind of little things. You ever been offended? Let's talk about it today during this brunch. Write the vision. Make it plain. He who reads it may run with it. Wait for it. Though it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just once again commit ourselves, first of all, to the Great Commission and to your plan to make disciples, to reach people with the gospel. I mean, our vision that you've given this church is just in our words of the Great Commission. But that's our heart, Father. So we pray today, Father, that commission will burn in our hearts, that we'll not just put it on the shelf, that we'll live it, that we'll do it, that we'll act upon it. Give us revelation on how to get it more in people's hearts, Father. Help us to make stronger and better disciples. Help us, Father, in our outreach and reaching our community for Jesus. Give us strategies and plans. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the laborers. Raise up the laborers. Equip the laborers. Thrust the laborers out into the harvest field. We don't have 4 months to wait. Now is the time. So we thank you for our big year, Father, that laborers will be sent out not only to the Augusta area, but to nations. You're opening up doors for us all over the world. We pray for people here today, Father. Pray that they grow up in all things. Pray that they may have a vision for their lives. Pray that they may have purpose. You give them a dream, Lord, like we prayed for the members, the new members, Lord, that the gifts in them will come forth in a fullness. They'll develop, they'll find out those gifts and use them for the kingdom. And Father, that they may fulfill the plan that you've given to them. Lord, blessings upon the marriages here. Blessings upon the families. Blessings upon the businesses. And Lord, that each one of us, that we will see ourselves as your ambassadors and your representatives. And when we leave here, every time we leave, we go out into the world, Lord, that we are Jesus to the world. And Lord, that the people of Good News Church will be that and walk in that, boldly walk in that. And so we thank you, Father. We declare the best days are ahead. Future is bright for everybody here and for this church. And we thank you for that. And Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.